I'd like to say good evening to everybody and thankful to be here and another opportunity to try to stand for the Lord. And I told them downstairs they had Brother Jerry had already done his lesson for the young ones, and I told him a little bit about that tent meeting. What he failed to tell you through that tent meeting is one of my best friends I used to lift weight with, Brother Jim Riggs, got saved by the grace of God. He thought he was saved, and he used to invite me to church, and after I got saved, the Lord had me start inviting him. And he was at that tent meeting on a Sunday night when Brother Jerry preached, I believe it was, and him and his daughter both hit the altar. Well, I'd just been saved. I thought everybody went to the altar, and tears started flying out of them, and they were carrying on. I thought when they come up out of there, they're saved. That's what happened to me. It's the only time I ever prayed, you see. And but boy, they said, whoa, wait a minute. Just stay back. So we listened. Well, anyways, a couple days later, both of them, Big Jim got saved where we worked at GE Plastics at the time in the bathroom. And his daughter, little Pat, she was about 16 years old. She got saved at Parkersburg South High School. So we're thankful for Brother Jerry and the work that he does, and I want to sing a song about him here before we go any further. Brother Jerry is a traveling preacher, travels all over this land. He's called to spread God's word, and he does the best he can. He's sure not a rich man, but he is his father's son, and he'll have a mansion in glory land when his work on earth is done. The preacher, traveling preacher, he's called to spread God's word throughout the land. The preacher, traveling preacher, wants all the world to know the great I am. Brother Jerry won't take any credit, and he's sure not one to brag. He knows that man's self-righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. He also knows that his work on earth is not what'll take him home, 'cause it all goes back to a time and a place when the good Lord saved his soul. The preacher, traveling preacher, he's called to spread God's word throughout the land. The preacher, the traveling preacher, wants all the world to know the great I am. When you see Brother Jerry coming with a great big grin on his face, you know you're going to hear about Jesus and his wonderful saving grace. We know someday somebody will come tell us Brother Jerry is gone, and he wants us to shout hallelujah 'cause he's finally traveled home. The preacher, traveling preacher, he's called to spread God's word throughout the land. The preacher, the traveling preacher, wants all the world to know the great I am. And you know, that's what every preacher and every child of God should have, that desire in their heart. Go around with a joy in their heart, a praise on their lips, a grin on their face, telling people about Jesus. We don't need to be long-faced. Glory be to God. This is the only hell we're ever going to know tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about a divine keeper. His name's Jesus. And he does it through the Spirit that he gave us. Remember when he told him, Mary, he says, why do you men of Galilee stand here gazing? He says, same Jesus is going to come back in like manner. He's coming back after his children. He also gave us a comforter to take care of business down here for him while he's going. And I'm thankful for that. But I want to talk to you tonight. I want to look in the, talk about a divine keeper. I want to look in the 17th chapter, Lord willing, of 1 Kings. I'm going to talk a little bit about Elijah. He had a divine keeper. If I remember right, it was about maybe 7 kings in after Israel was asking for a king. But anyway, Israel was in such a state at this time. They were in a bad way. All the children of God, they had turned and they were worshiping the idols of Baal and different things. And all of a sudden here out of the woodwork, the Lord pops up Elijah the Tishbite. And he comes up and he approaches old King Ahab and his wicked queen Jezebel. And he lets them know some things. Now I want to start reading here in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Now see, he had to be divinely connected right there because he said, according to my word. He was trying, I believe, with all my heart to let the king know that, hey, the Lord is with me and you better listen to what I'm telling you. You know, when I got saved by the grace of God, many times I'd say, come hear what the Lord has to say. People would say, what do you mean? You're going to be preaching. I tell you, if we'll get out of the way and let the Lord have his way. Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and the word of God knows no bounds. So we need to speak it. We need to live it. We need to talk it. We need to sing it. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Nobody wants to see people in this old beaten down way. Glory be to God. We need to lift up our voices and sing to the King. Because if you realize he drawed you, he convicted you, and he saved your soul. You couldn't get saved without the faith of Christ. You should be eternally grateful and thankful for him, shouting glory, hallelujah, because you've escaped the pits of hell. And the Bible says that hell is enlarged every day. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, whether you've been brought up in the way or not, you don't have to go there. This is the only hell you'll ever know. So you should be eternally grateful and thankful to the Lord. You know, I was telling someone today, you know the only thing the devil can steal from you if you've been saved? Your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. Write this one down. Worry doesn't take away tomorrow's sorrow. It takes away today's strength. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Worry about telling people about Jesus and praying for the lost today, because the Lord's coming in like a thief in the night. And we need to be ready for our redemption. Draweth nigh. We need to be ready and trying to help other people to see Jesus. He said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Cherith. That is before Jordan. And it shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So we're seeing it's a time of drought. You'd have thought he'd have put him by the river. But he said, go hide yourself there. He puts him by a brook. See, God always does big things with little situations. Little as much when God's in it. He could have took a man or somebody around and hit him out there, but he fed him with a raven. God does supernatural things in situations that we think we can't do. The devil's out there telling you what you can't do, but the Bible tells us all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. All things. There's nothing impossible for God. If he can save an old sinner like me, he can keep you. The Bible says that we're sealed to the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit of promise. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you need to work out your soul salvation. The Bible says with fear and trembling, we need to come before his presence, before his gates with thanksgiving and praise. You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to escheweth evil is understanding. It's the whole duty of man to fear God and obey his commandments. There's nothing like being in the slot where you need to be with God. Take this whole world and give me Jesus. I love y'all, but don't try to get in between me and the Lord. You'll lose. I tell you, Jesus, there's nothing like him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Just give everything to him, your time, talents, gifts, finances, efforts, and he'll bless you. Most of the time, the sock's off of you, but it's a little cold tonight. I had to put them back on. But I'm going to tell you, God is able. He wants to bless his children. It's not about a time down here. Yeah, there's a lot of problems in this land, but the Bible says the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send harvesters into the harvest. We need people to go out in the harvest. I thank God, yeah, we need to pray for sick people, but we need to pray for lost people. We need to have a burden for the lost. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. No servant's above his master. If you're called out of God, you're called into the service that the Lord would have you do. You need to share your testimony. The Bible says we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the word of our testimony. We need to be sharing our testimony with a lost and dying world, because you can touch people that I can't. I can touch people that you can't. Paul planted, Apollos water, but God will give an increase if his word goes forth.
So it's important, isn't it? See, so many people get wrapped up in their own little situations, in their own little world. Let me tell you something. A true minister and disciple of Christ, he puts other people and their circumstances ahead of his very own. That's what a minister of Christ does. He puts other people and their circumstances ahead of their own. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the president. It's not about the pope. It's about furthering the kingdom of God, seeing lost sinners saved by the grace of God, those ones that are sin sick and dying and going to hell. That's what this is about. We lose our focus. In our church society sometimes, we need to get focused on the things of God. We need to see a revival. People on fire telling people about Jesus. I went down to Pineville, Louisiana. Pray for those people. They had a little church up home. Disbanded a while back. Don't see many springing up. See another one. Looks like it's probably going to disband. You guys are still down in the heart of the gospel area. But I tell you, I've had the opportunity to preach at about 25 different churches in the last 3 months. She's falling away everywhere, folks. It's falling away everywhere. The world's grabbing people up. Huh? I tell you, it says in Daniel 12:4, it said he told him to seal up the books until the time of the end. Man's knowledge will increase. He'll go to and fro. Think about it. 100 years ago or so, he's riding horse and buggies. Folks, I believe the Lord's wrapping it up. If he ain't, it sure would be a good time. We've got too smart for our own goods. Heard somebody talking about a ball game, said you're here tonight because you ain't got a ball game. Are you kidding me? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in his church is the most important thing that should be in your life if you're saved. We wonder why we're falling away. Our children aren't grounded and rooted. Our actions are speaking so loud they can't hear what we're saying. You've got to be kidding me. And people think the Lord's pleased? I'll tell you what. We need to get on this real tough squad, coached by God. We need to get busy about our Father's business. It's no time for playing. Jesus didn't have time to play. He was about his Father's business from the time he came down to this earth until the time he went to the cross and died for our sins and rose after the third day. He was about his Father's business from the time he was born in a manger, from the time he showed up about 12 when he went down the road and his mom and dad said, hey, where's he at? And he went back and he was reasoning in the temple. From the time he showed up in his earthly ministry and he said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was on a mission from God. We have a divine keeper. And in his presence is fullness of joy. We need to let people see the joy of the Lord. It's important. It's important. You know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not those big things like you going out and getting drunk or running around on your wife or husband. It's little foxes. Man, I'm just a little tired tonight. Oh, I got something else I need to do. I can't really go to church. Oh, I need to take a vacation. I got to spend that $5,000. I'm not worried. My church can't hardly keep the lights on, but I got to have a vacation. Everybody deserves one, don't they? Everybody deserves one, don't they? Jesus didn't take no vacation. Why do we think we deserve all this? And it said, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So the Bible lets us know that God will supply. We have a divine keeper. He'll supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He'll give each and every individual of God and his churches and those people, if we'll follow him in spirit and truth, he'll give you exactly what you need to further his kingdom, not what you want to do, but to further his kingdom, because it's about the expansion of the kingdom of God. That's what this is all about. That's what his church, the greatest entity in the world, was set up to do. It was set up to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, that lost sinners could come in and feel the power of God and be drawn and get under conviction that they might be saved. That's what this is about. So I want to let you know, then he went on down to the, after that, the brook dried up. The Lord moved him on. He went on down and he found the woman with some meal and a cruse of oil, and he told her to feed him. Well, she fed him, and then she made cakes for her and her boy. And guess what? They never ran out. God gave them exactly what they needed. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek ye shall be, and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. If it's sinners, they need to ask, seek, and knock until they receive salvation. If it's a saved man, you need to ask, seek, and knock until you get in the will of God, until God gives you divine direction and you're able to submit to the will of God. A lot of people own up a calling and say, hey, I've been called to preach. Hey, I've been saved by the grace of God. But they quit preaching the word. They quit telling people about Jesus. We need to submit to that same spirit, to the Lord Jesus Christ drawing us, that he could carry us out into whatever ministry he has for us to do. It's important. It's important. Everybody has a function in the body of Christ. And remember then the little boy, he became sick and Elijah had to fix him up. Then remember he went on there and he came across, I think it was old Obadiah. Remember took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave. What I want to tell you is, no matter how bad it gets on the outside, God's still at work on the inside. Do you know why that there's a lot of problems in churches today, that I know there's a great falling away? I've just been saved a little over 11 years. I can't imagine what some of you folks have seen. You know why? Because all throughout history, when the Lord's churches were being persecuted from the outside, they grew in leaps and bounds. But today we're destroying ourselves from the inside. People that know the truth, that have the gospel message, can't get along with each other. This church won't fellowship this church over some mess. The Bible talks about being in one heart, one mind, one body, one accord. It said those that sold gave to those that didn't, and nobody was in need of anything. It's all about us getting along and being better in the Lord. In one heart, one mind, one body, and one accord. Talks about bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But churches can't get along. People can't get along. So the Lord's not pleased with the things that are happening. Then remember, he went and took the 450 prophets of Baal. The Lord was with him all the way. Most people would have said, oh my goodness, let me tell you something. I tell folks all the time, if I waited for someone to step out with me, I'd never get anything done for the Lord. I tell people to pray for me. But when I get that, I miss pretty bad. I would have went to Australia if I'd have knew it with all my heart. I was just to pray real hard, but God 2 years later sent somebody to Australia. It did my heart good just to find out somebody went. Because I knew somebody was supposed to be there. So we need to follow our hearts. We need to follow whatever God would put upon our hearts. When you get up in the morning, you need to seek the Lord, because how are we going to win the battle here? The Lord already fought the battle and we won, but how are you going to win the battle in your life if you don't get instruction from the one that has the orders? Every day, you've got to get instruction from God. He's the only one can help you. And I'll tell you what, I see so many people missing out on their joy, on the things that really matter. Really, all this stuff down here, you know this is an illusion. Everything's down here is an illusion. Huh? Right? Everything down here is something to sidetrack you from seeing God. All this world out here, except for the church and its people. And some of those are wolves in sheep clothing, as they talked about last night. But I'm going to tell you something. This world is a distraction. Shut it off. Get out of it. If you want to see something happen. You know, we think about people being saved. I was thinking, I went out to one of the associations there a while back. They were talking about a few years back, there was more people, I don't know how many more people saved, but it was a big number of people that were saved back there in fewer churches than what there is now.
We think now if two or three get saved, oh, don't get me wrong. Glory be to God. Angels rejoice in heaven when somebody gets saved. But I tell you, for the number, there ain't very many people getting saved. Truly born again of the Spirit, we've got a job to do. And I tell you, this is the most important thing I try to tell people. I've seen a lot of people saved by the grace of God, not by anything I did. But you know, only, well, not even really anybody in my family. Close. So why are we so worried about our families? Remember Hank Jr. wrote that old song, "If you mind your own business, you won't be minding mine." Mind the Lord's business. Get busy trying to see somebody else's children get saved, because you ain't got no honor in your hometown anyway. Prophets without honor in his hometown. Your brother and sister and aunts and uncles ain't going to listen to you. God will have to send somebody else to them. You get out there in the street somewhere and tell people about Jesus that'll listen. That's what this is about. It's not about you and your families. Yes, we thank God for our families, but I'm telling you one thing. The family of God's the most important thing. People getting their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and escaping the terrible pits of hell. That's important. That's important. So we see that the false prophets today, was it any different? There was one of God's men, 450 false, right? God's man won out, didn't he? We're more than conquerors, folks. We're going to win. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're spiritual. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We need to fervently pray and seek the face of God that he would move upon this land. He said, if my people who were called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'd hear from heaven, heal their land, and forgive their sin. There's only about a third of the people in the church books that even come to church. And where's the 200 or 250 that might be here, I don't know, on a regular day, I don't know, 150, whatever they are. Where are they at? People really care? Think about it. Do we really care? Or are we just living our lives? Huh? Something to think about. And you know, people don't like to hear the truth, but the truth will set you free. And do you know the more truth you know and understand, the freer you'll become in this life? Do you know that? Remember, the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. People think you're crazy. I had somebody call me crazy the other day. I said, I'm crazy about Jesus. They thought those people at 9 o'clock in the morning was drunk. They said, have you had too much wine? What's wrong with you people? They were rejoicing in the Spirit. They had something, and they were working out what they had in. I'm not here to please anybody. Are you? Please Jesus. He's the paymaster. The Bible says, lay up your treasures in heaven where the moth and rust can't destroy them, where thieves can't break in and steal. I bet those people that were hearing Elijah on that day, they weren't too pleased, were they? So he told them, he said, take them down to the brook and kill them. So he did. But guess what? It wasn't very long till he was down in a cave. It wasn't very long after that. Old Jezebel pretty much told him, said, you know what you did? No guy said, I'm going to kill you, bud. So he ran down and hid in the cave. And all this mess took place around him. But the Lord was in that still small voice, wasn't it? Just like that Hurricane Sally or Fred, whatever it was up there. Huh? Devastated things, didn't it? But right in the middle of it, there was a calmness. There's an eye in every storm. There's an ark of safety. There's a place where the children of God can reside, where we can worship the Lord. The Waldensians and all those throughout time, God will build an ark of safety around those people that want to serve him in spirit and truth, that don't forsake the things of God. He'll always make, he said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end. But I tell you what, it didn't say he was going to be with us in America till the end. He said, I'll be with you. His church somewhere. Seems like it's slipping away, so we need to think about things and try real hard to pray. But we're talking about a divine keeper. You know, I always say, it really saddens my heart because I have to preach kind of hard things sometimes. Well, most of the time. That's not easy. You know that? I
I'd like to be able to just go tell people all the time God's love. He is love. But it wasn't his love that drew salvation's plan. It was Jesus Christ, the one he sent. Love's just part of it. He had to send somebody, and it was Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. So that's the one we need to look to, because the Bible says God was pleased to let the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, the devil's not really trying to get you to sin. Sin's a result. He wants to break that communion with God. Then sin comes in, doesn't it? The communion with God's what the devil's after, because when someone has that sweet communion with God, just like the day that you had God granted you salvation, there was a peace that passed all understanding. You couldn't wait to tell somebody about Jesus. You wanted the whole world to have it. It should be that way today. What happened? Don't let the cares of the world overtake you. Cares the world overtake it. He says here in John 10 and 27, I think they had it last night. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I am my Father. Or one. You think about it. Jesus wants us to be in relationship with him the way him and the Father were one. That's what he wants for us. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. A sheep's a dumb animal. If we don't continually seek after the shepherd to help us, to feed us, you know that song, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. He says those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. You got to read. The Bible says study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. It's the word of truth. Bible says rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks always, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you, or will of God concerning you. Hey, you know, you think about it. It's hard. When I lost everything, it was hard. About 3 years ago, it started. Guess what? On the other side of it, it's pretty cool. When all you got that you own in the world, you can carry in a 15-passenger van, it's pretty cool. A lot of people don't understand that. But let me tell you something. When you minister for Christ, if you want to be used in the kingdom of God, the more you can go through and give God praise, honor, and glory, the more he can use you. Did you hear that? Not complaining about it. The more you can go through giving God praise, honor, and glory, the more he can use you to minister to people. That's what this is all about. I'm out in Louisiana. You wouldn't believe. I got some things I don't even want to tell from the pulpit. Ministering to people in the street. There's people out there that need Jesus. And they're not hearing the truth. They're not hearing the truth. You know what? This world has Jesus. This gospel message, not our good news of the gospel, but the gospel message is showing this, that everybody has someone they can depend on. Well, Jesus was long before a Savior, before he was someone you could depend on. He has to be Savior first. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. Jesus has to be in their heart before they can do anything. But that gospel message is not going forth. And it says here after Judas betrayed Jesus, you know, and here in John, the 17th or 18th chapter, and he says, then he asked him again in verse 7, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered in verse 8, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me. have I lost none. You know what's really funny to me? I try to read through my Bible at least once a year. I try to read and understand the word. I'm not very smart, like a lot of people. I'd like to be able to remember what Brother Jerry thinks he's forgot. You know, but I tell you, if we get into the Word of God, out of this heart, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There's nothing new under the sun from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelations. There's nothing that can happen in this world that's not covered in the book. The more you know and understand the book, and the closer you get to God, the more people you can minister to. You can speak life and peace and truth to them. But you don't get that watching the Days of Our Lives every afternoon. Huh? You don't get that turning on the news every night when you come in from work and plopping up your feet waiting on that ball game to come on. Huh? You get that from seeking after God with a whole and earnest heart. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He'll give you what you need. Jesus came to bring prosperity to the soul. There's some hard lessons to be learned, but the closer we get to God, we feel and know and understand that He's with us and that we have a purpose in this life and in this land, and we need to fulfill our purpose in our generation, because this is the only chance you're going to have to serve God here. This is it. You know, the Bible says some will make it in by fire. But some will make a glorious entry. I'd rather make a glorious entry. You know, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you, the Father, on that day. And he says in Philippians 4:6, some of my favorite scripture. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's what I have to do all the time. Sometimes I get discouraged and frustrated like everybody else, you know. I just start begging God. Here I am, God. Just trying to make it through. Go out there to Louisiana hoping them people come back to church, but they didn't. They didn't come. You know what that does to your heart? It didn't come. You put all your heart into it. So you beg God that He would help us, because we're nothing without Him. We can't do nothing without God. And what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Yeah, that's right. I'm nuts. I'm screwed onto the right bolt, baby. Jesus is taking me home one day. That passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And what's it say in Isaiah? Hold on. I like that. One second. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You know, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The Bible says a good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. The Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It says delight yourself in the Lord, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because when you delight yourself in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, your desires become the desires that he's laid out. It's no longer a selfish ambition. All sin derives from self. What we want. Remember, we battle the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, so many times today, there's people get mad at the preacher. They say, oh my goodness, that preacher, I wouldn't listen to him. He's full of it. You don't have to live like that. You can turn on that TV and watch that thing every night. You know, the Bible says the eyes are the windows to the soul. Do you know what that means? You know what the computer programmer says, don't you? Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you're putting into your heart, that's what's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you got there golfing every day and you're getting good at it, you'll be down here at church. Baby, I got a number two handicap. I'm good. Tell anybody about Jesus while he's out there? No, I was out with the old boys out there drinking. You know, I had to sip myself. Huh? Come on. That's what happens, ain't it? There's a fine line. There's a fine line sometimes when you think you're leading somebody to Christ, but it's the devil leading you away from him. Be careful. Be careful. The Bible says there's coming a day when man will call good evil and evil good. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are the ways of death. Not only in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm. The end of those ways. But it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, the battle takes place in your mind. The devil can't get your heart, but he can take your mind. He works on your mind, will, and emotions. We're a very emotional creature. But see, when you minister for God, when you're saved and you want to become a disciple of Christ, you have to wear your feelings on your shirt sleeves. Man, if I laid down and cried every time somebody said about me, I've had brethren. I know what Paul was talking about. I've had brethren come against me. I've had dissenter people come against me. I've had all manner of evil talked about me. I haven't got beat yet. I hope I don't. I'm kind of a sissy. But I can tell you this. There might come a day in this land, and we might not be as far from it as a lot of people think. We might not be as far from it as a lot of people think. But we do have a divine keeper. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You know, when the Bible says abstain from the very appearance of evil, you know, there's a lot of things in this world that are evil. And I know, like in my life, I try to stay away from the things that are tempting to me. And I try to tell people all the time after they get saved, after you start walking along with God, the devil, I like how that Brother Hogue preached about fish and stuff. I'm not much of a fisherman, but the Lord said we're fishers of men, and I do try to throw out the old gospel message there that people might hear it, and it knows no bounds. But I think he preached one time, he said the Lord, or the devil, he knows every lure, every tackle, every bait, everything that's tempting to you. And he wants to distract you. He wants to distract you from being that fisher of men. You know? He wants to distract you to keep you to where you're just, oh my goodness, complaining and downhearted and, oh my goodness, this awful place. No, this is not bad. This is not that bad. Hell's bad. Hell's a horrible place. You ever see it? You ever see a piece of it, flames and stuff? Bad place. First Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know what? You think about it. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a free gift of God, lest any man should boast. God's real good at giving us what we don't deserve and not giving us what we deserve. We deserve death. But the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, he said, I'll go. God set up this divine way of salvation. And you think about it. I think about this all the time, especially when I'm riding on long distance in the van. I'm thinking, dang, I'm riding down the road here and all this is going on. I'm thinking, but God chose me. See, I wasn't looking for him. I wasn't taught like you folks. I wasn't looking for God. Come to me. If you really think about it. You might have been seeking. But you didn't find God. He found you. He ain't never been lost. I wasn't looking for him. I was going along through my life doing my thing. I wasn't taught that the Spirit's going to come to you one day and trouble you and let you know that you're lost and separated from God, because Jesus said no one can come to me lest the Father who sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up in the last day. I wasn't taught that the sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I wasn't taught that the Lord's nigh unto them that be of a broken heart and save as such that be of a contrite spirit, that you got to realize that you're broke before you can get fixed. I wasn't taught all that. So who revealed that to me? He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto ye, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, I'm thankful that he's hid these things, Jesus said, from the wise and the prudent, but has made them known unto babes. Said he made it to where a wayfaring fool could be saved by the grace of God. That was me. Remember, godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of, but earthly sorrow worketh death. You can be sorrowful about a lot of things. Your friends don't like you. Mom or dad died. That ain't godly sorrow. Godly sorrow's got to set up in your heart. You got to realize what you are before Almighty God, a sinner, and beg him for forgiveness. And you can't get saved by yourself. You can't have enough faith to believe on the only begotten Son of God to get through that straight and narrow gate. The Bible says that straight is the gate, and narrow the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, but wide is a path to destruction, and many enter in thereat. It's the faith of Christ that carries you through the straight gate. So I think about that many times. I think, man, you know, I almost fell into depression here a while back. Well, a lot of people don't want to talk about that, do they? I'm real with you. You ever been there? Somebody's probably been there. Almost fell in depression big time. It's like, Lord, what's going on? I'm trying to serve you with all my heart. Everything's falling out from underneath of me. One day I just wanted to drive the old van off the side of the road. I said, I'm just going to drive off this van off the side of the road. I'm going home. I know I'm going to heaven. Ain't a doubt in my mind. Then I was like, you big dummy. All those car wrecks you had when you was drunk. Total the car. Never get scratched. I'll be here till the Lord wants to take me home. There ain't not no car, no person, nobody else can do about it. The Lord's got a purpose for your life. Serve him in spirit and truth. The Bible says a merry heart's good medicine. How do you get a merry heart? Get in the will of God. It's a merry place to be. It's joyful. It's just like the festivities that go on to Christmas. At Christmas time, the more truth you know and understand, it's like little kids opening those Christmas presents. Boy, they get jollier and jolly. Boy, they open up all those things and their heart's full of joy. That's what it is serving the Lord. Just let him peel you back like an onion. Let him take you from glory to glory and see how the joy overflows you. The Bible says that lets us know that he'll overflow your cup. Your cup can run over with the spiritual things of God. Wherein ye grace and rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and to honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's who I want to be pleasing in his sight, don't you? I love Brother Jerry. I'm envious of a lot of these brethren. How studied and learned they are. I wish I could be better. I wish I could teach better. I can't. I'm ADD. God made me that way. But I tell you what, I love Jesus, and I try to preach him everywhere I go. And as weak and feeble as our efforts might be, I pray God might get some glory somewhere down the road. And you need to look to Jesus like that. Let him use you in your weakness. He'll lift you up. I know he will. I'm his favorite one right behind you. That's the way you should feel. You know, I was a redheaded stepchild growing up, for real. Now I feel like I'm an only child, dog. I feel like, am I the only one? He'll make you feel that way. That's the way he wants to make you feel. He wants to make you feel special. Your Father in heaven will make you feel special. I don't feel that way very much, Brother Jerry, but every once in a while I get that slot. I feel special for a moment of time. A couple more places, Lord willing. In Jude, the 24th verse, and now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know, the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we can think or imagine. He's able to save to the uttermost. He said, I know whom I have believed and that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. God is able. He loves his children. He loves you tonight. He wants us all to rejoice in the spiritual things of God. Revelation, the third chapter, 10th verse. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Remember, Paul talked about he had fought a good fight, he had kept the faith, all them things, and henceforth there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not for me only, but for all those that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing tonight? I tell people, remember how it was when you was courting your wife or your husband, boy, you opened up every door? Huh? Tip big, man, you think, boy, he's a generous guy, isn't he? I tell you, you can't outdo God. I'm not talking about your money, I'm talking about service to him, whatever that might be. You can't outdo God. He should be first and foremost in your life. When he opens a door, you should go right through it and say, thank you, my Father in heaven. I have another opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus. What a Savior. I preached that sermon one night. You know, ever since I've been saved, I've been saying, oh, what a Savior. Yeah. Oh, what a Savior. Even in my worst times, that was something God revealed to me. In my worst downtrodden time right there, the Lord showed me. I was still running around telling people about Jesus. Sometimes I didn't have that grin on my face the way I like it. But I would still tell them everywhere I went. I said, man, I'm having some hard times, but thank God I know I'm going to heaven. This is as bad as it gets for me. That's when the Lord impressed upon my heart, this is the only hell I ever know. See, experience, it's the best teacher. But the more you go through, the more you can help others. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop right there. I feel like I'm supposed to stop. So, we have a divine keeper. He's better than a housekeeper. But Jesus, through his Spirit, will help us keep our Father's house in order, won't he? He'll help us in all things big and small. You know, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Man wants to have understanding in something, then have faith in it. God wants you to leap out in faith, then he'll give you the understanding. Amen. That's the way he works. You leap out in faith. The Bible says the righteous live by faith, not by sight. And there's none not righteous, no, not one. We all like sheep have gone astray. So we got a problem. We're in a fallen state. We need a divine helper 24/7. Not just when we think we need it. We need it all the time. It's those little things. Remember we said earlier, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. So if you're here tonight and you're lost, it's a good time to pray. When you feel that tugging upon your heart, that's a good time to pray. If you're here tonight and you know the Lord, it's something the Lord wants you to do. You need to pray. And see, here's the thing. You know, every time that you come to church, I don't say this in a boastful way, but I want to tell you something. I always try to pray for the service the best I can. That's what you need to do for every service. Praying for your pastor, whoever your pastor is. You need to be praying for your pastor and their family that God would keep the devourer away from them. Remember, because the devil goes forth as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's the prince and power of the air, the god of this world. So we need to diligently pray one for another. And then you need to be praying to God. God, what can I do to glorify you in the assembly of the saints today? Don't just let me go set, Lord. Give me something to say. Give me a song. Song in my heart. Little Brittany, she got under conviction out there. Pray for her. Brother Clarence's granddaughter got under such conviction, she started beating herself in the tent. I mean beating herself. Face red as a beet. She told me the next day, she said, why do you sing all the time? I said, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Because my blessed Savior, he died up on a tree. I don't even know how good, so I make up words. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. God is able to use you. He's able to use you. Don't let the devil tell you what you can't do, folks. He can use you. And if we want to see a revival, we got to let it start with ourselves, because we have a divine keeper that's able to keep us to the end. And guess what? The Bible says to be absent body is to be present with the Lord. You know something else? Let me share this with you. I tell people all the time, I can hardly wait to get to heaven. Some people say, I'm not looking to cross over. I am. I'm ready to go tonight. This earth yearns for his returning. If you get close to the Lord and let the Spirit, you'll yearn for it too. But if you have fleshly desires you want to see accomplished, you'll never feel that way. When you feel that way, you'll become more joyous in your soul, because you'll know God's truly having his way. It's none of your selfish ambitions. I'm not saying you're going to go out and run in front of a train, but let the Lord have his way and see what happens in your life. I long for his appearing. People say, what about my family? They had the same chance you did. Guess what? You ain't going to know nothing about it. No tears in heaven fair. No tears up there. We're going to worship our Lord and Savior forever. So when he sees fit to come back, it's fine with me. I got children who need to be saved, but they've heard the gospel. Get busy about telling everybody about him. He might be coming soon.